The gang's all here for once. I'm Ryan McDonald.
I'm Chris Ostremsky.
I'm Jake Mazar.
Hey, folks, it's your boy, Gary Barrister.
And now we have everybody back all together now that Safe's all moved in and Jake and I aren't taking a week off. So let's get to it on this edition of College Crosscast.
Bless up.
Believe it or not, even though the weather doesn't want to agree with it whatsoever, we've only got two more weeks of the regular season to go, people.
I mean, I think it's snowing right now. It's like sleeting outside, right? Or
Chris, it was snowing in Syracuse a couple hours ago.
It's April 17th.
Yes. Sometimes you hate life and this campus.
I don't want to talk about it. I was expecting, but by the time spring rolled around, I could do this stuff outside and it'd be nice and warm. But here we are. It's 47 degrees.
Current look at the temperature app here on Long Island. We are at 42 with a rain shower. And that was an hour ago, so that might be... Oh, for 41 and cloudy. Fantastic. At least it was nice on Friday and Saturday when I took a weekend off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I went on a nice hike.
It was nice Friday when I went to Pittsburgh. Instead of 45-degree weather and cloudy and raining, it was 80 degrees and sunny in Pittsburgh, where I yelled, Crosby sucks, and almost died.
I was contemplating going up to Syracuse for the Syracuse-UNC game. I think I made the right decision staying home.
Coward.
I was contemplating it. I finally got that credit card, but, you know, a little too short notice to plan out, so.
Wait, you finally got a credit card?
Yeah, this was, like, from, like, about 2 months ago. Stick with it.
Wait, your first credit card? That
one. No, second credit card. I had a store credit card. This is my first general credit card at the age of 27.
Target card. You get a Target card before that.
Shall we move on to the news and notes?
Yeah.
Besides Chris, besides Chris irresponsibly traveling back and forth between Pittsburgh to watch a first round Flyers play game.
If there was an accident
on 79 or the Thruway, you could have missed the Syracuse UNC game, and Desco would have had no film whatsoever to go back on.
North Carolina game instead, or the North Carolina version instead. So we would have been fine. I would have been fantastic driving back after an accident.
Not saying you had an accident. I'm saying someone else's accident causing a huge backup.
I know. I would be fine driving back after that huge backup on 79 and threw away because the Flyers won and the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Speaking of using your position for our advantage, when is senior night?
Senior night is May, whenever Colgate is.
Oh, the Colgate game that we are going to lose.
May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, which would have been the GGG Canelo fight, which is now not happening because Canelo likes...
Yeah, good thing that's not happening anymore because I've got a family party to go to that night, so I would have missed it if that was still on.
A family surprise 30th birthday party.
Well, is it a surprise anymore?
Birthday?
Yeah. I didn't say who it's for.
Well, whoever listens to it...
They do not listen to it because my extended family is a baseball family, not a lacrosse family, so they don't listen to this.
Email is the McDonald family.
That's the first weekend of the tournament. You better hope they put Notre Dame on that time slot.
No, it's not. Conference tournament weekend. I'll miss the Big Ten week. I'll miss the Big Ten championship.
Literally the only game that matters the entire year. Now that the Cornell game is over.
It's a different sport. I can't wait to get my... This is the Big East 1980s of what we're watching right now. So
yes, news and notes, Chris, because we have a lot.
We have a good amount starting and only in the great state of Kentucky. Yeah, Kentucky. We go to News and Notes in Kentucky, where head coach Kevin Burns and an offensive coordinator Bill Tully did not coach Saturday against Mercer. And as we've seen with Holy Cross, when you have an interim, they actually do better. And they did, 12-6 win over Mercer. At the time, a team spokesman said that they were out due to personal issues, but a source told me on Saturday, Friday and Sunday that they were indeed fired. And with Jay Sotheby indeed taking over as interim head coach for the time being, which will probably be the remaining games in the regular season, which are VMI and Furman, which could mean Bellarmine could get a spot in the SoCon tournament if it pleases and if everything goes right.
If it pleases.
Yes. So right now it won't be announced, officially announced. The team is going through proper protocol for that to happen, but from what I've heard, they are indeed fired, and we can officially start the coaching carousel. And I did reach out to Holy Cross, which was the other news that we got from a few weeks back from Marissa. They have not updated their statement and their position on Judd Lattimore just yet. So, yeah.
Start up that carousel.
Well, I mean, isn't Air Force technically still
Air Force up in the air? Is still up in the air. They're also the government.
No pun intended.
Up in the air.
Boom. That's why people come. For this material.
This is what they pay to see.
Subscribe on iTunes and Google Play if you want more of this. And drop that 5-star review, baby.
Honestly, shout out to the 5-star reviewers, because for a little while I was like the only one who did it. But
5-star review.
Of course.
I 5-star. Gotta bet on yourself.
I did too. When the little safe story, I went to Boise State when I was a senior, and I lost Mayor. It was 29-30, and we were both split up in the 60. And it was just like one kid who was on my team, just like he couldn't decide, so he didn't vote. And I was just like, oh my God, you're killing me. So I always say, always vote for yourself. Every vote counts. So yeah. But yeah, shout out to the people who did review and gave us a 5-star review. So please keep them coming.
And if you did review and you didn't give us 5 stars, then I hope something bad happens to you.
Well, we could use some constructive criticism. At the end of the season, we're going to have a survey to see what we're doing well and what we can improve on. So be on the lookout for that. Some reader input.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get another one from the person who complained that the pod went longer than 30 minutes.
Isn't he on the show next week?
No.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No.
Okay, so on that note, here's our critically acclaimed hour and 15-minute look at the scoreboard of last week's games. We'll start off last Friday, where we had Ohio State beat Michigan, a.k.a. that school up north, 8-5. In Big Ten place, so Ohio State gets their first Big Ten win of the year. Comes at the expense of their bitter rival Wolverines. High Point beats VMI 16-7 in SoCon play, and Bucknell in the Patriot League muddles the waters 15-6. By God, this is going to be a common theme, just like it always is, where the Patriot League makes no sense. This game made sense, but hold on tight, because the Patriot League would do Patriot League things on Saturday.
Shout out to the Patriot League, doing Patriot League things.
So Saturday, in SoCon play, Richmond beats Jacksonville 14-12. The Spiders now in a two-way tie with High Point at 4-1 in the SoCon. Oh, by the way, High Point is 4-7, but are 4-1 in conference.
Got all the SoCon.
But Richmond now at 7-5 overall. Detroit Mercy beats Manhattan 18-8.
In one NAAC short of the meme.
That's close, but no cigar in the NAAC. little bit of a shocker in the NEC in this one. Mount St. Mary's at home beats Hobart 15-14. So the
shocker.
It was the Mount's first NEC win of the year. Hobart, though, is at 1-3. A little bit of a disappointing season for them. They're at 4-8.
Wow.
Quite a bit of expectations.
4-7 team loses. It's a shocker.
Well, given that, but you also got to take into consideration, this is the NEC where Hobart was expected to do good things. They're 4-8. All right. In also the Patriot League, BU hanging tough with Loyola, but Loyola wins 23-9.
I had to do a double take when I saw that. I was like, oh my lord.
So the Greyhounds.
Loyola literally ripped off about like a 13-2 run like immediately after that.
Hello, Marissa.
Yeah. So, you know, you go to the dog.
Right after Marissa said, here, ripped off like a 13-2 run.
And their goalie scored.
Yeah.
And the goalie scored a full field goal. Not even like the goalie sprints and runs all the way, clears it himself and scores and is out of breath. He scored a full field goal.
Full field.
As John Deska would say, he was coming out of his cage and doing just fine.
The Terriers had... And after that, the Terriers gotta be down. They couldn't have it all. And that's why when you go to the dog racing track, there's Greyhounds and not Terriers.
Oh my god.
Because the Terriers just got lapped by the Greyhounds.
This is...
The award-winning hour and 15-minute segment where we review last week's scores. In the Colonial, Drexel beats Fairfield 16-14. There are a lot of high-scoring games this weekend, especially in the early Saturday slot, and the Dragons beating the Stags was no different. Drexel and Fairfield both tied for third in the Colonial at 1-2. God bless the Thunderdome. There's one other fun factoid with the Thunderdome that we'll get to in a little bit as well. Navy beats Army in the Star game at West Point in an entertaining one. The Midshipmen take it 9-8. Navy in a three-way tie for first place at 7-1. They don't play in the Patriot League anymore in the regular season, so they will be at 7-1. There's Bucknell and Loyola at 6-1. And Army, at the moment, believe it or not, is on the outside looking in the Patriot League tournament. They're in a four-way tie for fifth in the Patriot League. But due to tiebreakers, they are currently seventh and outside the Patriot League tournament, which would be kind of nuts if Army wouldn't be able to finish top six in the Patriot League. But here we are. In the Ivy League, Princeton scores 24 to take down Dartmouth 24-13. Have we mentioned the high scoring action? So the Tigers explode in that one. In more of your standard Hofstra on its thing deal, a little bit lower scoring. Delaware beats Hofstra 10-9. So the Blue Hens with the victory there.
Shout out April. That's when Hofstra sucks.
And Delaware is above the fray at 2-1 in the Colonial, whereas Hofstra's in that four-team quagmire tied at third at 1-2. The sole team in the Thunderdome that's above everybody else is UMass, and they beat Towson 8-4. UMass is 3-0 in the Colonial. They are the only team in the Colonial with a winning record overall.
Nation's longest winning streak, right?
No, that's with the next team.
St. Joseph's with great victory over Bryant, 14-7. That keeps St. Joe's at 4-0 in the NEC, and that gives them sole possession of first place with that win over Bryant. Bryant falls to 4-1. So St. Joe's now the leader of the pack in the NEC.
For now.
They both have 7, unless you're going to count tonight, Chris.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, that... there is a game in progress involving St. Joe's, though it is not in the NEC. That might may or yes, may not
Saint
continue.
St. Joe's is up 8-6 on Penn at the moment.
So, yeah, tie for longest could be...
Could be extended.
Sole possession tonight.
In the ACC, Virginia starts a new losing streak as Duke beats UVA 18-13. The Blue Devils now...
the last time UVA beat Duke.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that. Go ahead.
2010. Hold on a minute. I actually have the number of days lined up. Give me a moment.
Whoever runs the days last since UVA last won a Twitter.
2,916 days.
Wow.
Since UVA last beat Duke. Thanks to the dude who runs that day since UVA last won a game.
I think he should change that account the day since UVA last beat Duke.
How hard is it to change your handle on Twitter?
I don't know.
Very easy. Our rebrand was very swift, so. But I like how it is right now.
And they've only beat them once since 2005.
And the year that they beat them, they then lost in the Final Four to them. So it's like a moot point. It's like, yeah, it got canceled out, and you lost the national semifinal. But Duke...
One time since 2005.
So Duke wraps up ACC play at 3-1. They will be the 2 seed in the ACC tournament. Virginia's in that fun tiebreaker scenario, but I think they're pretty safe. Depending on what tiebreaker scenario plays out, but Virginia should be in the ACC tournament. But Duke, 3-game winning streak.
Which is a shame. Because it would have been hilarious to see Virginia miss that on the ACC tournament.
Via an obscure tiebreaker.
They even had their own 5th place game if they didn't make the tournament.
And half the time they lose. And half the time they lost a pen in that 5th place blatant RPI booster game.
Well, luckily for them, they would have Tuesday and they would play VMI, so that would be an easy one for them.
But I guess we'll save our thoughts to when we get to the polls and the RPIs. I guess unless you guys wanted to break down any of those games we mentioned.
I mean, Virginia's defense is garbage as usual.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't know who their goalie is.
Offense looks good. Defense is a little weird. You know, when they play more high-powered offenses, Duke's defense has had a tendency to kind of fold up, which I guess as they get further, you know, in the season and maybe in the tournament will be something they want to watch out for. You know, it looks good against some of the more, you know, easy competition on that schedule, but when they play some tough teams, it's kind of been a bit of a different story. But the offense looks good. You know, probably the best it has all season, so... Yeah, they look pretty good.
All right, we'll move on. Sacred Heart beats Wagner 12-10. Sacred Heart now at 2-3 in the NEC tournament. They currently hold that 4th and final tournament playoff spot in the NEC. Wagner down to 0-4.
Sorry, Ryan, I had that because this Duke thing. In Virginia, it made me go through all their websites, like the game notes just before. The series history is insane. Just like it was actually kind of close, and it's 50-31 now. But every single regular season contest since 2004.
That's incredible.
That's amazing. I mean, you're definitely right, Jake. The 2010 game, but yeah,
didn't they play in 2006 before they canceled the season too and Duke won as well?
No, because that was my one point.
I thought they played before.
UVA won undefeated that year.
That's right. That was UVA undefeated year. They would have probably had one loss if they played Duke.
Yeah, I like to put an asterisk on that game, but yeah, it's all good. Just kidding.
No, I forgot about the UVA undefeated.
No, but it's the same. You think of some 2 seed in 2007, 2 seed in 2008, think a 1 in 2009, and a 1 in 2010, and they would just get won the national championship in 2011, and they would get throttled by Duke. Like some of these games aren't even close. Like, they just get throttled.
It was like 18-2. It was an 18-2 game. I remember. Like distinctly remember. Like I couldn't remember.
Yeah, there's one of them.
Yeah.
No, but it was like UVA would start all those seasons like 8-0.
Then here comes Duke.
Boom.
And I big blue machine. Troy.
As Chris said earlier, Bellarmine beat Mercer 12-6 with a little bit of a coaching shakeup. The Ivy League, not your father's Ivy League, another football score as Yale beats Brown 27-15. Incredible.
Seven. They dropped
27. That is not a typo. 27-15. That makes like Princeton Dartmouth like look like Tierney era Princeton.
That was like 2015 payback. That was like coming back from the
16 in the like, second half.
Like we didn't forget those Dylan Malloy years. Take some of this.
That's like a goal. That's like a goal every like what? Almost a goal every like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
ridiculous.
Insanity.
I tell you, we're all building ourselves up for this Yale Cornell Ivy title game that's going to get completely derailed by Brown or Harvard.
I'm prepared for it. I know how this conference works.
Yale's offense looking alive.
Well, yeah, they scored 27
goals.
Brown scored 15. It's actually pretty impressive.
That's pretty good.
That's a really good total, especially against Yale. And Yale's just like...
yeah, like, on the sideline, just, you know, okay, yeah, look at BU, look at Yale. Look at BU, look at Princeton. And then, you know, Andy Shays looking at the out-of-town scores like, nope, we got to do more. 27.
27. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think it's a really under-talked about story, just how, like, Ivy made just a conference-wide shift toward offense. And you think about those Tierney Princeton teams, which, look, played amazing offense, that should be stated, but also played slow as crap. Then you had those, you know, Tambroni Cornell teams, which also played pretty slow, you know. And yeah,
killer offenses, but just more deliberate pace.
Yeah, very deliberate. And not that the Ivy... all of them play. Like, Yale is not necessarily, you know, run up and down the field. Not, even Yale has absolutely taken much more of a step towards playing, you know,
offense.
A more fast, you know, yeah, more offensive style of play.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you have Brown. And you have Cornell, which plays a million miles a minute.
Yeah, Cornell does, Princeton does.
I mean, the only
Brown
team in the Ivy League, the only team in the Ivy League who has not committed to doing this is Penn. Penn is like the lonely team on the island, just by themselves. Like 70th in pace or something, and just remarkable. I mean, Penn is like, you know, nope, we like the old Ivy League.
And the rest of the Ivy Leagues, sorry, the old Ivy League can't get to the phone right now. Why? Because it's dead. Unlike Yale's offense.
This was the second highest goal scored by Yale was back in 1927 versus Brown. It was 26.
Back in the good old days when they had no, where they probably played 90-minute games on a 10-foot field or something. Back in the olden day.
Like cricket.
It resembled nothing like lacrosse back in the day.
I wasn't even watching this game. And then, like, inside the cross tweeted out, and it was like, Yale 27. I was like, what the?
All right, on to the Big East, where we have a big shuffling of the order as Georgetown beats Villanova 13-11.
That's a big win.
Yeah, that's a big win for the Hoyas. That gets them into third in the Big East at 2-2. Knocks Villanova down to 1-2 in
Villanova.
Villanova's probably
currently projected in the NCAA tournament, but out of the Big East tournament.
Signs and wonders of
Villanova
your RPI
at the moment is out of the Big East tournament.
Wow.
Which I expect that I think their next games are what, Providence and St. John's?
Yeah, Providence and St. John's. So they should finish 4-2, but
and work their way in. But yeah, it's not.
Providence game's going to decide if they make the Big East tournament too.
Yeah, that's
That is correct because that'll be the tiebreak game.
Both tie for fourth.
Yeah, and assuming Providence loses to Denver, that'll be.
Yeah, and I'd expect they'd win that game. Like I imagine,
but
that.
It
and
is,
I imagine
but it
St. John's too.
But what's interesting to see is though how much Villanova's NCAA hits have taken a hit the past 2 weeks.
I mean, the RPI and strength schedule is still great.
Yeah.
And their wins. They've still beaten Penn State, which is a good win. They've also beaten they've beaten Yale, which is a great win.
It's a pretty good
they
win.
They've still got some shut up. So like Villanova.
It's not a bad win.
It's just pipe down. Down. Unbelievable. Anyhow, no, like they've still got some very good wins, and they still have a good RPI and a very good strength of schedule. Like they're still in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I don't know, this is leaning towards the, and they beat Penn as well, you know, which Penn is the best win that actually really shouldn't be. So yeah, Villanova's got a very good NCAA tournament because they're still in the NCAA tournament pretty safely. And if they win their last two games, they'll make it in. But this is the Nova story over the last, you know, 3-4 years, whatever, is a hot start and then, you know, sometimes a slow start and then, you know, they get hot, but then they falter, or a hot start and then they just slowly crumble towards the end of the season. And we thought they avoided that, you know. They lost, you know, a bad game to Brown, and they, you know, hop back, got a couple really good wins. But now the Denver game and now this is much worse than the Denver game, to be quite honest with you. And so, yeah, the trend is not good for Villanova.
I find it interesting with Nova that they're 2-4 at home, and their two wins, Drexel and Fairfield, were like not like dominant wins for the Cats. I remember Drexel; they were down by like a goal in the fourth quarter in that weird Tuesday game, and then Fairfield, I think they had to force overtime to win it. So surprisingly, they're not even the best team at home, which is kind of eye-opening, and they host the Big East tournament this year. So,
well,
sucks for them.
I feel like Villanova always has the Big East tournament. Well, maybe back when Syracuse was in the Big East.
Statistics would say that they probably don't always have the Big East
tournament. No, they don't always, but they seem to.
Last year's in Providence.
At East.
No, this is much worse than the Denver loss. Denver loss, you know.
It was that year in Marquette where they upset Denver, too.
Denver, yep.
You mean the year Tierney to the Big East tournament?
That was year last one. Year. Both of them.
Yeah, both.
You can't do it this year.
They probably need to win this year. But no, this is much worse than the Denver loss, you know. Oh, well, just chalk it up, you know. Weird crap happens. But this one. This was great, bad. I mean, they got outplayed. They got outplayed for like almost all this game. They made a late run, you know, made this kind of close. Other than that, they were comatose for the first like 45 minutes of this game. It's troubling. And if you're Georgetown, you got to wonder what the hell you did for like those 3 or 4 weeks that we let your season fall apart.
Yeah.
Because you know, you lost to Drexel and Marquette, you know, and I mean, if you hadn't lost those two games, you'd have this Nova win, you'd have a win over Robert Morris, begin. Going to the Big East tournament, you have an actual, you know, shot there in that long march, probably. But
don't worry, Bill Tierney's here like Santa on Christmas Eve, giving somebody an auto bid.
They just need to get in. I mean, they only lost to Denver 5-6. Yeah, and they lost to Marquette in overtime. I mean, No, you're right, Jake. I mean, they should not have lost Drexel by 5 after going 7-0 ever. But I love Drexel. But you know what I mean? Like, you're on that kind of start. Like,
yeah, and I guess, you know, Marquette, you know, you have to play in the bubble.
Yeah, it's at there, and then one game, so. 1 point to Denver. But my point is, like, if they just get in,
yeah, I mean, look, we'll see.
They could be your stereotypical bit stealer and really screw a lot of teams up.
Yeah, we'll have to play and see. I mean, you know, the Loyola game, I think the score kind of flattered them a bit, but it's not the losing by 3 to Loyola ain't the worst thing in the world. The thing is, the offense, where is, you know, because the offense looked great against Nova, but before that, they had scored 8, 5, 8, and 8. So, you know, which offense you're going to get? Because they have some really talented dudes on offense. They got some guys who can go. It was Caraway and Burge had just two really big games for them today. And those two aren't even their top scorer, which is Daniel Picardo, who's got 34 and 21. So, yeah, they got some – the offense is top heavy. There's not a lot of depth, which might go into explaining why, you know, they had those four games where they didn't really produce, but they've got some. They're top two or three just as well as any top teams two or three, and so yeah, you know, they could potentially make some noise in the biggest tournament.
Shout out before we move John Georgetown because they sent us a DM on it. Shout out to them on their Parents Appreciation Day this weekend. For I think you get like your laundry done for free if you win.
Really?
The stuff. It was a pretty good deal. A lot of things going on here. but anyway, yeah, April 21st for the women's and men's game.
Yeah, go down to old Georgetown, catch it out, and get some free laundry.
There it is. Yeah, first five families to bring a load of laundry to the game will get their clothes washed, dried, and folded.
Wow, folded. Wow, that's
folded. That's deal sealer.
Dang.
There's a mom and dad jeans donation bin.
Didn't Georgetown used to run the promotion where you could trade in a different Big East or Syracuse t-shirt in and get a free Georgetown shirt, and they donate the t-shirt to charity or something? Because that was a pretty cool promotion.
They did that. Someone else did that the other week. Anyhow, let's move on.
Let's move on to the Big Ten. All due respect to Georgetown Athletics and their cool promotions that help others. Penn State.
Time to move on.
Penn State 14, Johns Hopkins 12 in Big Ten play. Johns Hopkins' winning streak comes to an end, whereas Penn State puts a huge notch in their feather. Nittany Lions back from the dead into the conversation.
As I've always said, the Big Ten is the lacrosse version of Big East basketball in the 1980s.
I know that's a Thunderdome.
Physical, the toughest, and I'm not just saying that because Hopkins probably shouldn't have lost his game, and I'm trying to deflect.
I was not surprised at all. Didn't surprise. With all due respect, Hopkins, who has been playing very good lacrosse, still is a very good team. This, like, if Arseri hadn't played, I probably would have, you know, picked Hopkins win. But when Arseri got out there and he put in a hell of an effort on basically one play.
Oh my God! Yep.
Winning 16 face-offs. This Penn State offense. This Penn State offense plays offense as well as. I mean, if you haven't watched them play offense this year, you're missing out. It is incredible.
Even without Granite, it's Nick Spillane.
Even without Granite, and honestly, Hopkins too. Both of these teams played some of the best offense I've seen all year. The way they pass the ball is beautiful to watch. But yeah, Penn State's offense. If you haven't seen it, they play great offense. So when you have Arseri out there, you know, winning you a bunch of draws, it is a lethal combo. And look, you know, Penn State needed this game. They needed this game bad. They had a great crowd, despite the fact that, you know, they're rebuilding their stadium. Hopkins was kind of walking into, you know, the Lions' den a bit here. And it did not help that they once again got off to a slow start. This was the game where they could not get off to a slow start.
Well, Shaq got, like, killed.
Yeah, you know, they've been doing it
for a minute. But you're telling me the way that they...
His ribs are... Apparently. No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, you're totally right. But you're exactly right. Like, the way they played against Maryland last week, like, I was like, if this is the same Penn State team, Hopkins better watch out. You know, I thought I was with you guys. I didn't know if Arseri was going to be able to play, but, you know, he's obviously a difference maker, and he just put in a gutsy effort. Hopkins was still in the game. You know, as bad as the start was, the second half was amazing, and they were their senior leader was out. It is what it is. It's after that kind of winning streak, you know. Again, maybe I'm just sugarcoating it, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. And Penn State needed it much more.
No, this was a game of runs, and I think the big difference to me, I think, is Penn State's defense is probably a little bit better than Hopkins. I think Penn State's defense is one of the more underrated units in the country. You know, they did some really good stuff against Maryland. And, you know, in the first half, Maryland kind of picked it up in the second half there during that game. You know, and they, yeah, it was a game of runs. Yeah, when Hopkins managed to, you know, get the ball in their stick and get their ball moving again, they play offense tremendously too. They made it a bit closer. But yeah, Penn State, you know, this was a case of a team in Hopkins who's in good shape, you know, and was kind of riding, you know, the wave a little bit. And eventually you're just, it's just going to kind of run out. A Penn State team who was, you know, on an upward trajectory and really need this win, and they got it.
Shout out to Shaq's 58 game point scoring streak, which ended after he went out of the game early. But just an amazing run for Stanwyck. Hopefully, he's going to be all good for a Big Ten tournament.
All right, in Big East play, Denver beats St. John's 15-6. Denver at 3-0 in the Big East. Currently at the top.
All of a sudden, the offense is back.
Yeah.
Air Force beats Furman 11-3. It was worth noting that Furman is
credit to Air Force.
Yeah. They are in position to make the SoCon tournament now.
After all they went through, after the wild crap that went on with that team, they've had a good year.
We got their back.
They're just flying high right now.
And they have the best social media account in all of lacrosse, official lacrosse Twitter.
Still the best.
I just love how, like, if win or lose, like, back to the film room. Our guys are getting better.
Who do they have next?
Give that man or woman a raise. Next up, they got...
We only focused on high points. Just high point.
Score.
Just focusing on high points.
Scored over here. St. Joe's is up. St. Joe's is up 4 towards the end of that game.
Yep, because this is going to render our entire bracketology discussion a little bit completely obsolete.
This is a bad loss. I mean, I know St. Joe's is hot and they got a lot of top 20 love.
Every loss is bad for Penn right now.
No, for sure. But especially since this could put them below 500 two games below 500. But I was just like, I thought if they won out the season and I thought they had a chance with Harvard, that they would still be pretty significant in the at-large. But this is going to hurt really bad.
Well, that game's not done yet, so we'll get to that when we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. MAAC, Quinnipiac beats Canisius 19-14, so another high-scoring game here.
Action.
Here on Long Island, out in Suffolk, Stony Brook beats Vermont 8-7 in double overtime.
Rushing loss for Vermont didn't have much.
Oh, thank God, Chris stuff, isn't doing the meme anymore. Continue.
Rough.
Their RPI is in the top 20. So, like, I'm not saying they had, you know, a chance necessarily, but you lose this, you have an RPI in the top 20, you know, they probably would have been in higher if they hadn't lost this game, and you had the Virginia game coming up.
Yeah, you had the Virginia game that boosted up the SOS.
I'm not saying they had, you know, necessarily a chance, but any chance they had is probably decimated by...
Here's the issue.
There was an opening there. There was an opening there, and it's probably gone now.
And here's the other issue is, because of UMBC's upset win against Albany, that makes that final game against UMBC very important, because that could dictate who makes the America East tournament. Because UMass Lowell has a win against UMBC, so they would hold that tiebreaker, but Vermont holds a tiebreaker over UMass Lowell. I don't know. That could be a bit of a mess to figure out the final week, but there you go. Holy Cross beats Colgate 12-10 in the Patriot League. So, to summarize the cluster that is the Patriot League, Colgate now falls into that 2-5, four teams at 2-5 for two spots in the Patriot League tournament. Holy Cross is also in that mess at 2-5. Bucknell and Loyola are at 6-1 with one game to play, which is not against each other because Loyola has Army and Bucknell has Lehigh. Lehigh themselves are at 5-2, so Lehigh can move up if they beat Bucknell because they'll also hold the tiebreaker. So Lehigh can't fall any further than fourth, so they'll automatically get a home quarterfinal, but they can move up to third. And if Loyola loses, well, they don't have a win against Loyola, so Loyola all the time. Patriot League's a mess.
So there's, I got this from the Patriot League press release. Shout out to the Patriot League people who sent them out to me. There are a total of 16 scenarios for the Friday Patriot League finales. 1-6.
It's not even worth trying to break it down.
Let's get this party started.
Get your snacks.
Four teams at 2-5.
It's America just needs to get American just needs to get a team, bump it to two divisions, and then let's everybody else get some more out of conference games.
No, we need to expand it to 12 so we can get a fourth round into the Patriot League tournament. NFL playoff style with wild card weekend.
J- just like, look at this comments. There's a team at 7-1. There's two at 6-1. Team at 5-2. Oh, and then there's four teams at 2-6. And like two of those teams get in the tournament. You know,
someone's gonna go 3-5. Two teams are gonna go 3-5.
Just cap it at 4. Just cap it at 4. Look, it's easy. Navy, Bucknell, Loyola, Lehigh. There you go.
Wait, is it possible? Is it possible to go 2-6 and make the Patriot League tournament? Because I don't think any of them are playing one another.
Oh, it's possible. Colgate to do it. And Holy Cross.
Because none of the teams play one another this weekend. That is amazing. You can go 2-6 and make your conference tournament. I love the Patriot League.
25%.
I want them all to lose.
Of your conference
game. They find, so we could, let's see. Colgate has Lafayette. Okay, that's not likely going to happen. Holy Cross has BU, so somebody's got to go 3-5 there. And Army's got Loyola.
Well, that's...
Stranger things have happened.
I want at least one to 2-16 to make the Pitcher League final tournament.
Oh my God.
Say, for that to happen, for a 2-5 team, for that to happen, one would be Colgate. You would need Holy Cross to win, Lafayette could still win. Lehigh wins, Loyola Maryland wins. Somehow they would still be 2-6 because Holy Cross would have beaten BU. They'd be 3-5. Colgate, I think, beat BU, so there you go. They have the tiebreaker over them and Army.
That is the only scenario I want to happen this weekend.
No, there's three more. Two of them involve Colgate. They could win if they could get 6 if Holy Cross, Lafayette, Bucknell, or Loyola win. Another one includes BU, Lafayette, Lehigh, and Loyola winning. And then Holy Cross could get in at 2-6 if BU, somehow BU wins, Lafayette, Bucknell, and Loyola win.
I love the sport of lacrosse.
I don't know anything you just said, but I just,
so pretty much, if you want a 2-6 team to go advance to the Patriot League tournament, we are cheering for Lafayette this weekend to win.
That's screenshot.
The Patriot League. Reality is an illusion. The universe is a hologram. Bye, gold. Bye. God, this league.
Screenshot you sent, Chris, just looks like The Matrix. Just a bunch of ones and zeros.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Take the blue pill. Let's move on to another Patriot League team who played in non-con against Cornell, and Cornell wins 12-10, so no post-Central New York Derby hangover there.
That game, interesting, I think, to watch out for. Lehigh sort of gave, I'm not going to say the blueprint, but kind of a method if you want to slow down Cornell. A, you got to win faceoffs. Lehigh won a lot of them. And B, Lehigh, yes, they play slow, they grind you out, they play physical. And I think that's kind of a method to kind of slow down Cornell. Cornell's a fast team, very athletic, but, you know, not necessarily the most physical team in the world. And so if you can win face-offs, you know, and you can kind of get in their face and be physical, I think this kind of lends itself to teams like a Hopkins and up a Maryland, if, you know, Maryland can catch them their face-off play around. Maybe even a Yale, you know. Yale's kind of got that element in them as well. That's part of the reason, you know, Yale beat them in the regular season. I think those are the kind of teams you watch out for if you want to see a team that probably could, you know, slow down this Cornell offense, which up until this point had looked pretty much unstoppable.
Speaking of the Ivy League, we had Penn beating Harvard 11-7. So to set up the Patriot League blueprint right now, Yale's at 5-0 at the top and Cornell's at 3-1. The fun stuff is in the center of the Ivy League, as it always is. As it stands right now, Harvard and Brown would be in the Ivy tournament at 2-2 apiece. Penn's at 2-3 on the outside looking in. Princeton at 1-3 in fifth. So Harvard, Brown, and Penn is the fun stuff to watch the final 2 weeks of the season in the Ivy.
It's now a 2-goal game.
1-goal game.
Oh, my God.
So this is what happens. You guys are pulling. You guys are.
Jake Curse.
You got. I mean, you guys. Well, we'll talk about a certain game that was marked as a loss by analysis in just a little bit. Wow, my refreshing the page has screwed up this entire order. Thank you for making me refresh the page.
We're at Penn Harvard, I believe.
Yes, now we're at Marquette Providence, which went into overtime in the Big East. And Marquette with a big home victory, 12-11 over the Friars. The Golden Eagles now at 3-1 and second Marquette, in the Big East.
Marquette has played all but one game this year at home inside the bubble.
The only one was the nationally televised audience against Notre Dame.
Yes, the worst game of the entire season. Marquette has played all but one game inside the bubble at home.
Imagine how much tuition went up to build that stadium. And they have to be stuck playing in the bubble all the way through April. But hey, Minnesota lacrosse. Indeed. Dream is alive. In the NAAC, Monmouth beats Marist 9-7 in a rematch of last year's conference title game. As it stands, Monmouth currently in a tournament position of 3-1. Detroit Mercy's at 4-1. Quinnipiac at 4-0. Marist on the outside looking in at 2-3, but there is still an avenue for them to make it into the tournament, as they are only a half game back of Canisius at 2-2. They do not play one another, though, to end the season. In the Big East, under the Big Dome, Syracuse with a comeback against UNC. It was looking dicey.
The Big East?
In the ACC. I said the Big Dome.
Oh, this is Big East.
No, you didn't. You definitely said the Big East.
Shut up, Mike. Well, Syracuse, it was looking like UNC was going to have a big day, but Syracuse survives, comes back in a fury at the end, and win 13-12 in overtime.
Stop filibustering so we can make fun of you. Who called it the Big Joe anyway? None of this adds up.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So Syracuse ends the ACC season at 4-0. And UNC
says everything about how garbage is ACC is this year.
4-0 in the ACC series.
This Syracuse team could go 4-0. That tells you everything you need to know. Sarah,
after the mumps.
Syracuse
stop.
Syracuse blown out by Rutgers and blown out by Cornell. And they won every ACC. And you still have some propaganda to keep up that the ACC is remotely the best conference in America.
Blown out by Hopkins. Blown out by Albany.
Blown out by Rutgers. Blown out by Albany, Hopkins, Rutgers, and Cornell, and won every ACC.
But hey, we got Navy on the schedule this weekend. We might get a non-con game where we look respectable.
Speaking of people who have propaganda to push out here, Quint Kesnick gave the most embarrassing, horrendous performance on commentary that I have ever heard in my entire life. It was...
We're losing out and missing the tournament. We're going under 500, baby.
Like, Syracuse is going to lose this game and then lose to Colgate. And they're going to be out of the NCAA.
He actually said that?
Yes.
Wow.
Jake and I had a field day over...
What happens if you lose this game, lose next week to Navy, lose in the ACC tournament, and then lose Colgate? Then you're under 500. Actually said that.
But at the same token, A, saying UNC still had a shot to have an RPI of, like, 19 at the time.
Then, now it's 23. Said he loved Notre Dame's defense.
I have a running list. I mean, no disrespect to Quint, but he did have an off day, we feel like. I had a list.
I'm not mincing words here. He's horrendous at his job, and he should be fired.
I have a running list. I got to find it now of the things that were brought up this game, because it was amazing.
Somebody commented on Twitch Ty from the stands at the end of the game, and he just, like, freaked out for some reason. He was like, my tie. Nothing's wrong with my tie. It's a good tie.
The best was that after all this dragging on Syracuse, with a minute and a half left, they're still down by one. Syracuse, they look like a team that's ranked 7th to 10th. Well, thanks, they're literally ranked 7th to 10th.
Literally look like a team literally ranked 7th.
So here's my running list that I have with Jake. Assuming Syracuse would lose out the season and finish sub 500.
These are home games, except for the ACC tournament. There's no way they're going to lose Navy at home.
After saying that Syracuse are going to lose out, saying that they look like a team ranked 7th to 10th, while Syracuse was still losing to UNC, mind you, in which they would probably be 11th to 14th ranked team. While harping on Syracuse playing themselves off the bubble, UNC is putting themselves into the tournament. I have a feeling
with
like
the RPI of 19.
I have a feeling like at this point Quint's just trolling the Syracuse.com commenters and looking for
he's just bad at his job.
Okay, so let me continue though. Notre Dame's defense we brought out. The only thing that Quint agreed with the NCAA top 10 on was that Rutgers should be on the back end of it. Anytime he's bringing up analytics, he mentions the analytics crowd like he's trying to distance himself. He put Loyola 5th in his top 10. And reminding everybody about the 1993 title game where he was there as a fan. And like every other Hopkins person in a prominent role these days, waxing way too much poetic about Syracuse for a Hopkins alum. Where did our rivalry go?
Yes, he's terrible. Ryan's trying to play nice because he's Ryan, but he's terrible and he should be fired. Anyhow, on to the game.
What a mess this game was. It was real sloppy until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, this game was sloppy. And then Syracuse, look, the story of this Syracuse team is they got a lot of dudes. They play a lot of dudes. They're all very talented. And in any different week, someone can come to the forefront. At the end of the day, and I've been saying it, I think you need one top-notch elite player. You need an All-American if you want to win the tournament. And I don't think Syracuse has an All-American on offense. But they've got a lot of really good players. Number 10, his name is skipping my mind at the moment.
Brandon Curry.
Scored some big goals, you know. Nate Solomon, who has the most insane pump fakes in the country.
Chase, like pump fakes.
He's the closest thing they have to late in the game as a go-to player. If he was their third or fourth option and not their first or second, I would love this Syracuse team. But he's their first or second option, and so it feels like it puts a cap on what they're capable of. But look, they play hard. They know how to win these one-goal games. They just do. At some point, you have to admit there is something there that this team just, you know, finds ways to get it done. And so you got to give them credit. And UNC, they're finished.
Thank the Lord in heaven. Be at the game myself after coming from Pittsburgh and not die from Crosby sucks.
Well, you're leaving out the part where you did the Eagles chant, where you're just asking for trouble.
Oh, yeah, that too.
They don't want more.
They don't want more. We're Super Bowl champs. But I forget what it was. I think the man-up goal when UNC was up 3, or a man-up opportunity, I think Trippy had a shot and it was a save from Madonna. I had a feeling that if that went in, that was the game. And Madonna made that nice save, or an easy save, and resulted in those 3 goals. David Lipka's a hell of a player, too, by the way. He can shoot the ball. And if John Terry Desco figures out that he should be on the field more, he's a very good threat as a shooter.
Good thing John Desco is not Kevin Corrigan, am I right?
You are correct.
No. John Desco actually knows how to coach offense, unlike Kevin Corbin.
Yes.
Caps has scored 2-1 caps.
St. Joe's has won.
We'll get to Tuesday's games on Tuesday games. Yeah, we're on Syracuse UNC.
Ryan,
move on. Half these games don't count. Come on.
We got to move it up, Brian.
All right.
So the Rocket Rocket moves into its appropriate slotted time.
Like, we have to stick to the schedule. This
the award-winning hour 15-minute recap. Oh,
all right.
Syracuse, John Desco. Big win, yeah. Desco is better than Corrigan because he also quotes the Killers, and Kevin Corrigan is not. Simple.
I did love the kid sitting in the seat. That was wonderful.
That was great stuff. Desco murmuring will teach you learn how to sit. Great stuff.
Oh, to Curry, oh, yes. Sir. Long live John Desco.
Was that Brendan?
Yes,
was that
was.
Brendan, like, getting him out of the seat? He was like, get out, what are you doing?
That was Nate to Brendan.
And Brendan was a little too big for his britches. But no, Syracuse hasn't lost an ACC. Look, is the ACC the last 2 years the worst it's been in a while? Yes. Has Syracuse ridden their luck? Yes. But, like, even Maryland's dropped a game of Big Ten play in the last 2 years. Syracuse hasn't lost an ACC game in over 2 years. But, by God, man, we really got fired Desco.
Shout out to Dan for dunking on this guy who made fun of him when St. Joe's in his top 20.
Wrap it up Saturday. NJIT beats Hampton 15-8. I'm going to save
still
the
on Saturday?
Yes. Robert Morris beats Cleveland State 14-5. We are still on Saturday. We're into the Saturday night lacrosse stretch, which more teams need to do. We got to cue the John Cena music because UMass Lowell won.
Prayer circle for John Cena because love is dead.
Yes. UMass Lowell beats Hartford 12-10. And remember all the high-scoring lacrosse games? Well, in the America East, there was a lacrosse game that I think every NHL Stanley Cup playoff game outscored on Saturday. UMBC 5, Binghamton 2. Inject that in Jake's veins.
So the Binghamton Bearcats have scored more than the Philadelphia Flyers in games 1 and 3 combined. Sad.
King hot. All of you plebs out here like your high-scoring games. But me, I'm wired. I love low-scoring games. 5-2. That is awesome. Thank you, UMBC and Ryan Moran, for not knowing how to play offense.
And hey, they were smart enough to do this on Saturday night lacrosse.
Yes. Ryan, did you mention the two other games, Penn Harvard, Monmouth, Marist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Penn won and Monmouth won.
Yes. So on to
covered those, Christopher. Yes.
You gotta give it the program here. So on Sunday night lacrosse, except on Sunday afternoon due to weather or anticipated weather, we had
unless you're the Big Ten Network and you air the game still at 7 o'clock at night and fool people like some
gotta
other
let the people
podcast
watch.
Hosts. Yeah, just like other podcast hosts.
So Maryland beats Rutgers 11-10 in College Park in the latest edition of Rutgers loses a heartbreaking Big Ten game. And
by the way, there were Maryland fans. Ryan, I'm talking. Goodness gracious.
I wasn't even talking.
I wasn't even talking.
That was out of nowhere.
Ryan, just keep on going. Anyhow, my point. There were Maryland fans out here who were yelling about the AD, who, by the way, left on so he wasn't even in charge. We're yelling about the fact that apparently people weren't alerted of the fact that this game got moved up, despite the fact that A, fans got emailed, B, it was on Facebook, C, it was on Twitter, and these people were like, well, unbelievable.
And D, it was announced the day before.
They got moved up. They took literally every avenue to letting you know that this game got moved up. But Maryland fans, just the most unsatisfied people out there. We're like, I wasn't even told this got moved up. Unbelievable.
We need to have a convention of just Maryland fans meeting Syracuse.com.
Maryland fans are like disappointed with this game.
We need a convention with Maryland fans, with Syracuse.com commenting Syracuse lacrosse fans, and Hopkins lax power fans. Maybe tinkling Princeton fans looking for the glory days, and Hofstra fans. Put them all into a ballroom.
I didn't know Princeton had fans.
Bob Mueller.
So yeah, Hillshaw, guest speaker. And Hofstra fans, and then just put them all together, and the bickering show commence. But anyway, so this gets interesting, yeah, because the RPI, the NCAA Top 10, which was by the committee themselves, weren't too friendly to Rutgers on Saturday. And then now Rutgers loses this game while Penn State beats Hopkins. So are we playing another round of let's see how the NCAA screws over Rutgers this time? Because even though Rutgers does boast some great RPI and SOS, they're getting themselves into that predicament. They're in a big huddle with Virginia Bucknell and Penn State in that 13-16 range in the RPI that we'll discuss in a little bit. So is Rutgers teetering themselves even with this? And here's one other point,
Patrick,
I guess.
Stevens. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the other point is, does this? We think that the Syracuse win should outweigh the Princeton loss, but does the committee feel that way?
I don't know what the committee feels, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, Rutgers.
Rutgers should be in the tournament. I don't. Look, Patrick Stevens' bracket policy that came out today had Penn in the NCAA tournament above all these teams because Penn's RPI is great. The problem is now Penn is now below 500. Penn is now 6-7, so Penn can't be in the tournament. So like, it feels like we're playing this dance with Penn where it's like they go below 500, they're out, but they win. They go above, now they're in.
Hey, it's like UNC every other year.
Strictly off the RPI. Now, I don't know if the committee actually feels this way or if Patrick Stevens is just assuming. Or if he's kind of, using it sort of like show the flaws in RPI as a model. But yeah, I think based on what, if he is, I think Rutgers Penn State at the moment a play-in game. At the moment, Rutgers Penn State, whoever wins that game, I think gets an at-large.
Yep.
I think that's how it goes. But, of course, the thing is, both of those teams are going to make the Big Ten tournament. I assume so. I think Rutgers will beat Ohio State when they play the last week of the regular season, and I think Penn State will beat Michigan. So I think both these teams will make the Big Ten tournament. And as we've seen from the Big Ten play, Rutgers can beat Maryland. Penn State can beat Maryland. Penn State beat Hopkins. Rutgers can beat Hopkins. Hopkins beat Rutgers. Anything can happen in that tournament. I know it's been Maryland's tournament the last 2 years. And, you know, if you had to make me pick, I'd pick Maryland to win again. You know, but still, anything can happen in the tournament. And so,
I would put the one caveat for Rutgers that...
Sorry, Jake. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'd put the one caveat for Rutgers. I agree with everything you just said. Rutgers looks like a tournament team. I think they deserve to be in it. But they put themselves in a bad position. And, like... losing by one to Hopkins and losing by one to Maryland isn't the worst thing in the world. But either one of those two wins would have been really big because they do kind of have two bad losses. Right now, Princeton, I think, is like a 36 RPI or 31 RPI. It Army's 36.
Bad losses.
Exactly. And now if they can...
That's a killer.
If they can, and that will be the thing that differentiates them. Because, like, if you look at Bucknell, Bucknell's got two pretty nice wins. And
Bucknell does have a bad loss to Richmond. Bucknell does have a bad loss to Richmond.
So they got the Richmond one. But it's just like, it's Richmond, it's like, you know, 1 point below Princeton. I'm not trying to make the case for any team right now. I just think Rutgers really could have. We said this with Chris last week. It was like they just need to win one of these games. They beat Ohio State last year, and that was a huge win.
It's the story of Rutgers. It's the story of Rutgers. They need one of these wins.
Yeah.
Look, it's two years in a row now where Rutgers should have beat Maryland. They should have beat them last year. I mean, this year was not as bad as last year.
Last year was oh my god,
baby,
begging to beat them. A tired Maryland.
Multiple overtime man up opportunities.
Tillman was so annoyed at halftime. He's like, no, they're not tired. Stop asking me.
Maryland's dead on their feet, and Rutgers couldn't put them away. And now this year, no, this is Rutgers' thing. Yeah, it's can they get that big? I think if they beat Penn State this week, and I think they should. I think they're at home. And we all know how great Rutgers is at home. I think they'll be good. And again, like, it's hard to just decipher what, you know, the committee does. And we're all just guessing. But for both those teams, I think Rutgers and Penn State, similar story, win that game. Just win that game. Mm-hmm. You know, don't rely on, you know, what the NCAA is going to do. Don't try to, you know, guess on what the NCAA is going to do. Just go out there and win that game. And if you win that game, I think they'll be fine. I think both of them still have cases. And again, you know, like Patrick Stevens' bracketology had Penn in above, but now Penn's below 500. So who the heck knows? You know, and look, who knows with Bucknell? You know, I mean, Bucknell. I like Bucknell. I think Bucknell's a really good team. But you know, what happens if Bucknell gets tripped up early in the Patriot League tournament? Yep. You know, what happens there?
What do they lose to Lehigh?
Yeah, I mean, still isn't another. I mean, like honestly, if you ask me, I think Bucknell might be the third best team in the Patriot League at the moment. Not in disrespect to them. Yeah, because Navy and Loyola are both really good teams. But yeah, I mean, that's worth pointing out. And so, but no, I think for Rutgers and Penn State, if it's both of them, this is a big game this week. I'm not saying it's a killer if you lose it, but boy, you don't want to find out what happens if you do.
You don't even want to put yourself, exactly. Why even put yourself in that position? You're at home.
Penn State may have goals. When they do it, go out there, play offense the way you do, run and gun. I mean, this will be Rutgers and Penn State will be a great game. I can't wait to watch it. But yeah, for both teams. But yeah, especially Rutgers, which feels like, you know, you've been doing this for 2 years now. It's, you know, you need this big win. And I'm not saying this is as big as Hopkins or Maryland would have been, but you need this one. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like, I like Rutgers a lot, and I feel like they've, you know, they've kind of been unlucky in the last 2 years because, you know, bubbles have been bursted. You know, they've been killed by the fact that, you know, teams that should have won their AQs didn't do it. But eventually, you kind of got to, you know, if you think the committee screwed you the last 2 years, prove it. It's, you know, put up or shut up time, especially for these seniors. This is a senior line team. If you think you've been screwed, then this is your last shot.
And you don't want to lose this game and then have your Big Ten tournament hopes hinge on Ohio State. Because if they're both now 1-2, if they lose this game and Ohio State wins the last game, you know, Rutgers is literally fighting for their lives for the tournament. So, I mean,
you lose this game, Ohio State, it's
exactly. I don't see Ohio State beating Maryland, so I don't see Rutgers, and I don't think Rutgers is going to lose to Penn State, so it's not like they're going to be down one game. But again, you don't even want to even picture that scenario. Mm-hmm. Just handle your business.
All right, we'll wrap up with tonight's games, trio of games featuring Ivy League schools and derbies. Yale beats Marist 14-4 in an important game for the RPI and stuff in a Philadelphia derby. St. Joseph's continues to have the nation's longest winning streak, beating Penn 12-11. And in the Providence derby, Providence beats Brown 12-11 as well, that one in overtime.
Well, I don't know. I felt like the Brown was a... But I think Brown was in the top 20 in RPI, and so
they were 19.
They were 19.
Yeah, so that goes to you know, not a great loss for Villanova, and I think Rutgers. Did Rutgers play Brown this year?
Yeah, they did.
They won 10-8.
Well, then, so that bumps them. Yeah, you know, it's amazing how other teams losing can maybe not impact them, but can impact, you know, other teams.
Other teams, yeah, wheels upon wheels.
Yeah, the big wheel keeps on turning. Big wheel keeps on turning.
Sweet home Alabama.
All right, we'll move on to this week's top 20. We're going to first do the media poll, then our poll, then we'll get it dive into the RPI.
I think we should just tell the media poll to shove it.
Yes.
I think we should tell the media poll to shove it.
But I would like to congratulate the media poll for not having any of their voters put UNC in their top 20.
Finally, we had to find.
Someone still voted Michigan.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Princetown topics, baby.
Boom.
Okay, our top 20, we have Maryland at 1, Albany 2, Duke 3, Denver 4, Yale 5, Cornell 6, Johns Hopkins 7, Loyola 8, Rutgers 9, Cuse 10, Penn State 11, Bucknell 12, Navy 13, Notre Dame 14, Virginia 15, UMass 16, Georgetown 17, Villanova 18, Robert Morris 19, St. Joseph's 20. We look smart on the St. Joseph's end after tonight. And then
shout out Skyler for picking Penn 20 and not including Robert Morris. He's the only one that picked Penn and not Robert Morris in our top 20 poll this week. So, Skyler, that sucks for you, buddy.
I mean, hindsight's 20-20, but... Survivor pool, I'm still in it, and I picked Yale, so I'm still going to be in it. Chris, by the way, picked Delaware, and they lost. Woo!
Ryan, the Survivor pool is over. It's over. It doesn't.
It's literally me, you, and Adam now. It's like, yeah.
It's over. It's over. Just move on. No one cares.
So the RPI real quick, if we want to have a quick discussion on this.
Ryan, I'm going to kill you. We just did bragadology.
All right, well, if you want the RPI top 10, Maryland, Albany, Duke, Yale, Notre Dame, Penn, Loyola, Syracuse, Villanova, Hopkins, Cornell, Denver, Rutgers, Virginia, Bucknell, Penn State, Navy, Vermont, Brown, Georgetown. That's the top 20 in RPI. Discuss that with your friends when filling out your brackets.
Ryan just laid his nuts on the table.
We're long around discussing it. You can just recite it.
Ryan's just...
Do we want to move on to next week's games already? We're only an hour and 11 minutes into the podcast, you know.
Wow.
It's a work night now. We got to bed before 9:30, so let's go.
All righty. So this Friday, it's just want to point this out because this is a little weird. Let me get the proper music. It's a very busy Friday night. It's also April 20th.
Blazed it.
Our athletic are ADs and college lacrosse coaches cops, or are they the feds?
Look, well, the man, Sixers, you know, are the feds.
You got drug tests at the end of the weekend. You got drug tests at the end of the weekend.
Kind of funny. And I also put out this free idea for athletic departments. Food truck night. Now, for full disclosure, I'm a complete narc myself, and I don't participate in any of that 420 stuff, but free idea. You're going to make a killing off of that.
I don't either, but I think you should sell that marijuana at the game.
No, not marijuana. I'm saying sell food at the game.
We're about to have a second section blocked out from one pod.
Hey, no. To be fair, our parent company is running a mill.
Is literally... running marijuana week.
Yeah, our parent site is literally running a week on cannabis is the greatest thing ever, is our parent site's take. Like, ours is, I don't...
Like, it's over. Like, even the Republicans like it now. You know, this thing is over.
Yeah. Like, once again, I'm not a weed smoker. I don't agree with what every pot smoker tells you. Oh, it's healthy. Da 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 da. There's no risk. I think there isn't that. But smart idea. Smart idea. Yes, but smart idea is food truck Friday.
I just would go just for the food trucks and free food.
Food truck. I love free food.
Yes.
I love food. Like, I don't need to do it because I love free food anyway. I love food anyway.
I'll eat the free food anyway. 4 o'clock. Manhattan at Canisius at 4. Siena at Detroit Mercy at 4, and Quinnipiac at Monmouth at 4. So those are your real big narc colleges there. Then busy night in the Patriot League too, because they got to sort. They play Friday night because the quarterfinals and whatnot midweek. So CBS Sports Network has Army at Loyola. Army fighting for their Patriot League tournament lives. Who would have thought we would have been saying that sentence? That's at 7. UMass Lowell at Stony Brook at 7 on ESPN, probably ESPN Plus now. Marquette at Duke at 7. Binghamton at Albany at 7. Colgate at Lafayette at 7, BU at Holy Cross at 7, and Lehigh at Bucknell at 7:30. This is like the last day of the season, the Premier League and the Patriot League. They got this commitment down, this act.
Good for them.
They got this commitment down to a T. Everybody start the game at the same time.
Good for them. Got all the Patriot League sometimes. They had an all American... We would absolutely, like, put them as the greatest conference of all time in front of the ACC.
And well, I would.
For entertainment value. For entertainment value.
We just went over saying that the Ivy League is nothing but offensive explosions and no defense.
But do you like teams busting their brains out, like Army going 2-5 in Patriot League play?
No, I mean, look, I love the Patriot League. Don't get me wrong. Now let's move on.
Yes. So Saturday's games. Safe's got a bedtime to reach. Penn at Dartmouth at noon.
T-minus 2 minutes.
Penn at Dartmouth at noon. That'll be on ESPN Plus, I think, or Ivy League Digital Network if it's still alive. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Richmond at Mercer at noon. Johns Hopkins at Michigan, not on TV. A Hopkins game not on TV. Wow, noon. Jacksonville at Furman at noon. Notre Dame at UNC in the ACC regular season finale at noon, ESPNU. Bellarmine at VMI at noon. Sacred Heart at Cleveland State at noon. And Hartford at UMBC at noon. Then a bunch of games at 1, including Virginia at Vermont in Connecticut, because for some reason nobody wants to travel up to Vermont. UMass at Fairfield. Air Force at High Point. I know, Vermont always ends up playing neutral site games for some reason.
Warriors.
Villanova at St. John's. That could be an interesting Big East game. That's at 1. Brown at Cornell at 1. That's going to be a good Ivy League game.
How many is Cornell going to score now?
Yeah, if Yale put up 27, let's see what and if Providence, who remember scored 3 and I ranked them, if they drop 12, or was it 11? I forget. If they can drop 12, then... Who knows how much Cornell could drop on Brown. Hobart at Bryant and Delaware at Towson. Delaware at Towson could be very critical in Colonial seating. Robert Morris at Wagner. Mount St. Mary's at St. Joseph's and Princeton at Harvard. Then at 1:30 on CBS Sports Network, Denver at Providence in the Big East. At 2 on ACC Network Extra, Navy at Syracuse, the 1987 Sucks Derby. And Hofstra at Drexel at 2, and NJIT at Georgetown at 3. Have we mentioned that ADs are not smart enough to schedule Saturday night lacrosse games, where the latest game this weekend is at 3 o'clock?
Oh, my.
Well.
Disgusting.
Every AD in America.
Incensed even.
Then on Sunday at 1... Albany at Yale, which will actually be televised on Tape Delay. It's 6 o'clock, I think, on ESPNU, so no spoilers. Don't go on Twitter all day Sunday.
The biggest F you to all. It's just the biggest F you to Albany fans. Y'all whined all year long, so here, give you a tape delay.
I hope you're on a Sunday school retreat this Sunday. That way you avoid spoilers until it's on.
Ryan, I don't go to church.
2 o'clock, Ohio State at Maryland. That'll be on ESPNU and Big Ten Play. And then there's also Penn State Rutgers at 7 on BTN Sunday Night Lacrosse.
Oh, Sunday night.
You can watch at the same time as Albany Yale tape delays on. And then Tuesday night, we have Bryant at Brown at 7 in another Rhode Island derby. But the Patriot League quarterfinals, I believe, are Tuesday night as well, if I'm not mistaken.
That is a correct statement.
So those will be on Patriot League Network on a Tuesday. Conference tournament quarterfinals. Only the Patriot League. And only on the Patriot League Network, if I'm not mistaken. So let's go to our upset specials.
Fun.
Safe, considering you're about to go to bed, what's yours?
Marquette over Duke.
And Albany over Yale. Because Yale's so good, guys, right?
What?
Yale's so good, Dave.
Go to bed. Yale's still in the top five, and by
and
the way.
I'm out. And I'm out.
Thanks for joining us, Safe. We'll see you next week.
Always a pleasure.
He literally left. He had a 9:30 bedtime.
That's a ridiculous upset pick.
All right, so actual upset picks.
Unbelievable. Thank God.
I swear to God, I hope Yale loses or wins, I guess.
I hope Yale wins.
That would be amazing.
I hope they win by like 15.
I don't know what for. A, I like Albany, but A, to rub it in Safe's face next week, or B, to stop anybody from this selling T-shirts over this Dane train model.
I want to see Albany fans lose it when Maryland gets the one seed on Selection Sunday. Gonna be hilarious.
Be fantastic and beautiful.
So upset picks. What are your upset picks?
There's really not many good options.
No.
You know what? Screw it. Lafayette over Colgate.
Oh! Chaos.
Why not?
You know what? Screw it too. Michigan over Hopkins.
Oh Jesus!
That's a bad one,
Chris.
I'm gonna go because
bold.
Why not?
I'm gonna go because the Thunderdome's got to be Thunderdome-y to its fullest extent. Fairfield over UMass.
I'm actually, you know what? You know, guys, I'm gonna change mine and be smarter. St. John's over Villanova.
That'd be tough for Nova. That'd be brutal.
Oof. All right, so let's do some pick. Army Loyola, I'll go with the Greyhounds, even though Army's fighting for their lives.
Loyola, not even close.
Loyola and Army goes home, sad cadets.
UMass Lowell, Stony Brook, critical America East game.
Cena's.
The John Cena's.
I'm going to go and say the Red Hot Sea Wolves of SBU. That's their actual fight song.
So you'd rather you're team Nikki Bella instead of team Cena?
No.
That's disgusting. Yes, you are.
By the way, I still am heartbroken over. I have never upset over celebrity breakups, but I'm legitimately upset.
I cried. Not ashamed to admit it.
You could say that John Cena is now not in tip-top shape.
You know what was so sad? I was watching the Andre the Giant documentary, and I'm thinking about myself, good thing Cena's like the one wrestler that's had like a happy life and everything, and then that happens. Unbelievable.
Anyhow.
Marquette Duke. I'm going Duke.
Yeah, Duke.
The Dukies.
Lehigh Bucknell. That's a very good one in a Pennsylvania battle. I'm going to go with... I might actually go with Lehigh in this one.
Who am I?
I'm gonna knuck if you buck with Bucknell.
I've been on this Lehigh train all season, so it's like, you know, why not?
Notre Dame, North Carolina in the ACC game that could matter, but most likely won't. I'll go with UNC because Notre Dame against zone defenses is no bueno.
UNC is this is not gonna put UNC in the tournament. It's not gonna put them in the ACC tournament. The blatant ACC RPI booster. But, yeah, I think Notre Dame's offense, I don't think they're going to figure it out. I think UNC's showed some improvements recently on offense. And
Yeah.
I would like for both teams to tie and not have any winners because...
Agreed. Yeah, but unfortunately.
I would love to enjoy a winless North Carolina team go 6-8. In the ACC, so give me Notre Dame by like a 3-2 margin.
Let's see.
Come on, Ryan, hurry it up.
All right, Brown Cornell, we're all picking Cornell. Villanova St. John's, I'll go at Nova, but that was an upset pick for somebody here.
That was Chris.
Yep. Even though I think Nova will win.
Navy Syracuse.
This will be close. Navy's pretty hot or not. I think they'll push Syracuse quite a bit. But I'll say Syracuse wins in a two-goal game.
I think Syracuse... Navy's a ranked non-con team, correct? Correct. Navy will win.
Yeah, I think Syracuse bucks a trend, though, in a close one. I'll go with Syracuse in that one. But hey, at least we won't lose out and lose to Colgate. And then we got a big Sunday slate. Albany, Yale. I'll go with... Yeah, why not Yale? They're at home. I know they play a game...
Albany's second game in 3 days. Albany's second game
in 3 days, yeah.
On the road. Game of the Elis.
The Dane train halts to the Elis. A crashing halt, and the shirt sales dip to, like, they're never made again. Give me Yale.
Oh, God, now we definitely put the kibosh on this. And now Safe's definitely going to rag on us next week. On the... By the way, free idea. If Amtrak wants to run a shuttle train from Albany to Boston if they make the Final Four, free marketing opportunity thanks to Lacrosse Media with the Dane train thing. Make the Lakeshore Limited train from Albany, Rensselaer to Boston be the Dane train and watch your profits expand. Ohio State, Maryland, I'll go with Maryland.
Terps.
Turtles.
And Penn State, Rutgers.
This will be a great game. And it'll be close, but Rutgers needs this one. It's at home. Give me Rutgers.
Rutgers are the Warriors that built this town of Piscataway. Give me Rutgers.
I'm going to go with Penn State. I know it's at Rutgers, but Penn State's been playing very good. I mean, not that Rutgers hasn't been playing very good as well, but something about Penn State's play as of late. I think they might
look impressive.
I think it'll be an overtime type of affair. So give me that.
Good game.
All right, any other final things to wrap up?
Do we want to give our Patriot League predictions on how the Patriot League will finish?
We don't have time for that.
Not even.
Fantastic.
We're going to take forever figuring out all the scenarios. Any quick playoff thoughts in hockey or basketball?
This was an appropriately wacky pod.
Yes.
This was one of the craziest ones we've ever done.
I love it. So,
I do too.
Yes, and it's so good to have Safe back too. It just didn't feel the same without him with us three.
Even though he leaves
early now. He leaves early now. He has his set bedtime. First he deletes his Twitter, now he has a set bedtime. Unbelievable.
The new Safe, I miss the old Safe.
Yeah, but Safe's closer to me in Trenton than Philly, so makes it easier to hang out if ever happens.
Shut up.
We'll get some Hoagie Haven or Grease Trucks or that Brazilian place at Monmouth in Long Branch. I gotta do like a pod.
I'm telling you, the official College Trucks hangout will happen at Monmouth.
Yes.
It's a nice campus. Fun weekend I had there. We're going to do a podcast special about that weekend at Monmouth where I also went to a Syracuse-Princeton game.
Yeah.
And then some
the
of Ryan's...
College like, cross hangout.
Then we'll some of Ryan's mom. Ladies' friends will meet him at that place, and then we can all agree that Ryan knows women.
Follow us... Yes. Follow us on...
If I can go back in life to that pod, I would.
Few more weeks, baby.
Only 2.5 more weeks till Selection Sunday Live Pod, everybody. Who knows who will be on our show? So follow us. Facebook, College Cross. Twitter, at @college_cross. Instagram, why even bother? We don't even use Instagram, really. I'm at RyanMcD29.
I'm at CF. Or wait, am I CF? Wait, I don't even know my Twitter.
You forgot your Twitter.
Never mind. I'm at CF Jastrzemski. So there you go.
I'm at ATVS underscore Jake.
And Safe, as we said, is no longer on Twitter, so don't bother. He's still on the College Cross one, so whatever. CollegeCross.com, all your news, info, analysis, some great columns, like Skyler's got a great column up this week, a nice long form. And some other fun stuff. Chris also has a podcast on his own, so he can repeat everything he says on that on this one. It's called Across College Across. And you subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. Give us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Google Play. I swear that, by the way, I did not rate our own podcast like some others, but whatever. And otherwise, we'll see you next week. We'll preview the Patriot League tournament. We'll preview the ACC tournament. We'll preview Hopkins, Maryland. We'll preview Cornell, Princeton. We'll preview them all.
And the sport.
By the way, before we go, Columbus has tied the game with Washington.
Okay.
Well, it could be worse. It could be the Zards.
Who cares? Don't even care one bit.
All right, so that'll about do it for this week. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Stay hydrated.
Bye, Felicia.
And yes, stay hydrated.